So good to see you all here this morning. I want to wish you mothers, you ladies, a happy Mother's Day. Very special time. We're going to have some comments about mothers and women here in just a few minutes, but we'll be taking our text from Philippians chapter 1 and Acts 16. So if you'll go ahead and start turning there. Got a few people out today. Have to check on them, but I'm glad that you're here. And we're going to be over in Acts chapter 16. We'll get to that eventually, so hold your finger there. And we're going to start out reading in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and Acts 16. For so many years, I wore a yellow tie on Mother's Day and my mom's birthday, those two times of the year. And suddenly, I don't have the shirt. I have to get me another yellow shirt so that matches. But Bev caught it this morning, and Mother's Day is special. And my mother's favorite color was yellow, and she's been gone since 1997, so I like to do that. But in this case, I just didn't have the right shirt for it. So I'll get back to that next year, Lord willing. Philippians chapter 1 and Acts chapter 16. As we read Philippians 1, the biggest part of it, I want you to notice something with me here. The tone of love and fellowship that Paul and the church at Philippi have toward each other. This is an important part of understanding the warmth of Paul's heart for this church as they have manifested their love to him, their care and their support for him in his ministry. Long after he left Philippi, after he founded the church at Philippi, he left and got into many other locations and many other prison sentences. But they continued to care for him. And that's what I'd like for you to see. Basically, two points this morning, very easy points. This is a different kind of lesson for me, but it just what came to me as I opened up this passage. And the first point is how God's people should be there for each other. That's the first one. How we've seen it, and we're going to go back and see it again, but we've seen it in the past couple of weeks, how that suggestion and command is there for me and you to care for each other and me and you to support each other. The reason I bring that up is because it seems like in today's Christian culture, in today's church culture, not so much here, we're real good as Christians. We're real good at going to church and taking our seat and wanting, you know, I dare you, Pastor, bless me, you know. When we've got a ministry all of our own to each other. We've got a ministry, and you've got a special way with people that I could never have, and we need to see that. And the second part of the lesson is about women and mothers a little bit, but mostly women, as we're going to see in these two chapters. So Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and that just means Paul was in prison when he wrote this. This is one of the prison epistles. And so that's the bonds that he's talking about. He thanks God for them as he's in prison and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel of or his gospel ministry that he has been proclaiming. Ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now skip with me down to verse number 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul had a confidence that these people were praying for him. They cared for him. They supplied things to his needs. Now look in verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now that conversation means their daily living, not just what they say, but how they live, what they do, how they think, what takes place in their life. We're going to finish reading, but let me just say that this is a good time to say Philippians is a book all about the Christian life experience, how Christians should conduct themselves as they live from day to day. That's what that word conversation means. So he says in 27, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. Now we saw the past 2 weeks where that word perdition that we saw from Hebrews 10 means destruction. So we see it popped up here, and the adversaries of the cause of Christ and of God's people are a token of destruction. They don't know they don't realize what's ahead for them. They're coming against the gospel, the kingdom of God, the gospel of Christ. And so he says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition or destruction, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Now, as I said a moment ago, the book of Philippians is one of the prison epistles. There are four prison epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the little tiny book of Philemon. These four books were written by the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And this little book of Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, was written to the Christians in Philippi, a little city. At that time, it was a major city in Europe. And this letter came as a result of Paul sitting in prison and thinking back to that wonderful relationship that he had with his church family. It seems that the Apostle Paul, now I'm going to say several things in this lesson that it seems to be, because I don't know them to be exactly 100% correct, but based off of what he says in these four chapters, it seems that this little church was probably closer to the Apostle Paul than any other church. Their love for him and his love for them is mirrored all throughout this book as he talks to them and thanks God for their service to him and the great help at which they gave him in his ministry since he left there. This little book deals with the Christian life, the Christian experience that you and I should be living, the level which we should be having with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're not all there all the time, are we? We go through ebbs and flows in our Christian life. Sometimes the human part of us, the fleshly part of us, takes a bigger control in our life than it should. And it's during those times when our Savior draws us to Him. He asks that we come closer to Him. We'll see that in just a minute. And we saw it last week in Hebrews 10, which we're going to look at in just a moment. But Paul visited this church on his second missionary journey. He started the church on his first missionary journey. You might recall that on his first missionary journey, he went with Barnabas, and they went to the Galatian country, and they established that church at Galatia, and they had a wonderful ministry, and they founded many churches in spite of all the persecution that they endured as they traveled from place to place. And so Paul, on his second missionary journey, he wanted to revisit these locations, and he especially, I'm sure, wanted to go to Philippi based on his language as he talks in this epistle. And he's not by himself. The first time he was with Barnabas when they founded the church, and this time he's with Silas on the second missionary journey. But right before this first missionary journey, I want to give you a little background, and we're going to go to Acts 16 now and see some background for the book of Philippians. But before the first missionary journey, Paul was deciding where to go. He was in a somewhat of a holding pattern, so to speak. Do I go here? Do I go to this place to minister and spread the gospel? Do I go here? So he had a desire to go into Asia. That was due south, and spread the gospel there. The region of Asia had the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was Asia's largest and most important city. But when he attempted to go south to Asia, the Spirit of God stopped him. The Spirit of God put up a hindrance in his path. And so since he wasn't to go south, Paul thought that he might go north, where Turkey is today. But the Bible says there in Acts 16, verse 7, they essayed to go into Bithynia. The Spirit suffered them not. That means the Spirit did not allow them to do that. So this is the predicament that Paul is in. He can't go south into Asia. He can't go north into Turkey. He's come from the east. So there's only one direction to go, and that's to the west. And so he goes as far as he can to Troas, which is the city of Troy that you see in history. So he goes to the city of Troy and he waits. Troas is Troy. And he waits. And to go any further, he'd have to get on a boat because that was where the water started. And so he goes to Troas. And I thought about this week, and I'm going to detour for just a moment and go here. Sometimes we find ourselves, like the Apostle Paul, in a holding pattern. We want to do this. God might be pressing us to do this ministry or this service, but something stops us. Now, everything we're doing, everything we have a desire to do is good. It's biblically based, and our motives are right. All the right things are there that you can do the check off. This should be what God wants me to do, but something stops you. And you find yourself sometimes waiting for God's Spirit to come and give direction. So Paul continued to wait in the city of Troas. Get that frog out of my throat. He's in the city of Troas waiting for what to do, and he finally got them. Look down in, he finally got the orders that he's been waiting for. Look down in verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Macedonia, to go from Troas to Macedonia, had to get on a ship. So he and his companions, they boarded a ship and they went over to Macedonia, which is the continent of Europe. This is the first time that we have a recording of the gospel being taken to Europe. Now, if you know anything about biblical history or church history, you'll know that at one time, the continent of Europe was a hotbed of Christianity. Great Bible schools and great Bible churches were in Europe. And this is where it all started. Paul getting a vision brought to him by the Holy Spirit to go to Europe, to Macedonia, located in Europe. And the vision had a man saying, come, help us. Bring the gospel to us. Bring what you have to us. And so Paul crossed over into Europe, and his first stop was at Philippi. Read down in verse number 16. This is where the church is going to be established from the book of Philippi. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Now, we don't talk that way, so this was a place that was customarily used as a prayer meeting place, okay? Remember, these were Jews. They still had the Old Testament. Most Jews still considered themselves Old Testament Jews, not in those words, but they still had their rituals, and these women were no doubt, because as we're going to see in a minute, it was women that were here. But being by the river at this prayer meeting place indicates that these women had at least a desire to get closer to God, doesn't it? Well, you don't have a desire to get closer to God if you don't pray. I mean, it just kind of follows reason. So where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither or there. So Paul says, our first stop was this meeting place. Saw some women down here by the riverbanks, and we stopped and we started talking to them. And it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia is often thought of as the first Christian convert in Europe, the first convert of the Philippian Baptist Church. And I'm having fun with this, okay? Because it is fun. It's great to think about how these things happen, how God brings people together. And here the Apostle Paul, he goes to this place and he sees this group of women and he starts talking to them. And from that right there, and along with some facts that we know that there were probably very few, there was a Jewish group of people in that area. That's what historians tell us. But there were not a huge section of Jewish people. In order to establish a synagogue, there had to be 10 devout men, fathers and husbands, who would come together and establish a synagogue. Maybe that's why they didn't do that, because they didn't have enough men. You know, in the history of mankind, men can sometimes go AWOL when it comes to spiritual matters. That's just a given. At our church, have been blessed with a church full of men who have been faithful to God's house, and many of them are not with us anymore. They've gone on to heaven. But that's one of the things that I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is the time I've got to say this. One of the things, Brother Stacy, that drew us to Bible Baptist Church was we walked in here. Frank Brim's mother-in-law was our pianist at that time, Bernice Kreitz. And so Frank was driving through, and they just wanted to have lunch after church. So we visited this church so we could eat lunch with them after church. But when I got here, and we had a small family. All the girls were little. Well, Landon was like two years old. And I got into this church in Summer Hall, and I saw a church full of men. husbands and fathers, and I wanted my daughters and my son to grow up in a church watching a bunch of men, because I don't know what it is about you women, but you're so stinking faithful. You are. I don't know, you know, and I've got more stories to go along with this. That's why I said this is different, because I'm going to throw a lot of stories in here, and I'm not usually that way. But this is just what came to my heart, so I hope you bear with me here. So Lydia was a member of this church. These women, we also know there was a girl who was delivered from demon possession. Read down in verse number 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Now that means it's a girl who basically is owned by some men who make money by her telling the future, okay? Evil spirits gave her a power to tell the future. That's what this verse is telling us. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, prophesying, telling the future. So the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So we know she's there. She's in the church at Philippi. We know that Lydia is in the church at Philippi. And we also know that the Philippian jailer and his family are in this church. Now, after Paul turned around and talked to the woman and the demon possession came out of her, her owners, her masters, did not like that very much because they couldn't make money anymore. You know, she couldn't tell. She didn't have the persuasion of evil spirits anymore. And so Paul and Silas were thrown into prison because of that. And you know the story. Paul and Silas are thrown into this jail at the persuasion of the masters of this demon-possessed girl. They've been deprived of their income. They no longer could make money, and they were mad. And so they had Paul and Silas through in jail. But look down in verse number 30. You know the story. There was a great earthquake. And verse number 30 says, and the jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So we know the Philippian jailer and his family, don't know how many of that were in his family. He was a member of this church. The Philippian church. Lydia was a member. This demon-possessed girl, freed from her demon possession, was a member of the Philippian church. And of course, we don't know how many others because they're not mentioned, but we know there had to be other members. But we do know this right here. They were all close to the Apostle Paul. They followed him on his journeys. They ministered to him. When he was in prison, they sent aid unto him. And now for a couple of years, they didn't know where he was. The Bible says for 2 years, they didn't know his whereabouts because they had lost sight of him, but he had got thrown in prison. And finally, they heard that he was in the prison in Rome, and they sent their pastor, Epaphroditus, okay? Pastor Epaphroditus, say that fast 10 times. Pastor Epaphroditus was sent by the Philippian church to minister to Paul when he was in Rome. And so Paul writes this book, and he thanks God for the memory of all that they had done for him. Okay, so I've got 10 minutes, so I've got to take this somewhere. So that's the first part of this, and the reason I wanted to take you there in that great detail was the subject of women. Okay, and I'm going to get a little personal here on some of these points, but folks, it's Mother's Day, so I think I'm going to do this. Okay, Happy Mother's Day. Women have had a very special place. This is my observation. If you want to tag this as something, this is my observation in 57 years of living. Women have a special place in God's church. I don't know why that is, but they do. And I'm going to give you some personal examples. I'm going to start with my mother. My mother, when she passed away, on the day she passed away and the following week, we were living in Littlefield in 1997. And you expect the normal calls from neighbors and family and the grieving people calling. What we got for a solid week or two was calls from all over the world. Because my mom, Brother Stacy, was in a ministry like you and Deborah are. Children. Children who had grown up and they had gone off. And many of these children were involved in churches all over the country and all over the world. We got calls from all over the place, that we, from people we hadn't seen. And all they said was, thank God for Miss Beulah. Thank God that she broke her lessons down and made me understood when I was in her fifth grade class or her four-year-old class at this church or wherever she was. She had such a lasting impact. She loved the Lord. I tell you what, growing up in that household, I saw my mom, if I saw her once, I saw her 5,000 times. I'll just say that. Early morning, reading the Bible. That was the first part of her day. And that was such a thing of strength for me. When I am doing the right thing in my own life right now, I get up and I give the Lord the best part of my day. The first thing of the day. And I saw it in my mom. That's where I saw it. Okay? And you've known women like that. Maybe you had a mother like that, but you've known women like that. I was saved at a church in Cleveland, Tennessee, Temple Baptist Church. The church was full of women. They supported the church. Now, we had men too, but women seemed to be so generous with their time and their service. We moved to Grand Prairie, Texas, where Dad went to school in Arlington. And Calvary was a large church by standards during that day, 1,200 people. But my goodness, there was just hundreds of women serving at every function, serving, meeting needs. And then when my dad graduated from Bible college, we moved to East Tennessee, and he established three churches. And in all three churches, you know what, Linda? The first converts who were really devout in their faith and glad to be there were mostly women. I don't understand that, but I thank God for it. And I thank God for mothers. Mothers have a way. Women have a way as a mother and as wives of having a tender heart toward God. And I think sometimes we men do not have the same level of tenderness, not across the board. But I mentioned the story of how we found Bible Baptist Church. Valerie and I moved to Lubbock, and as soon as we moved to Lubbock in, 1999, we started going to a big church, a great church in Lubbock, but we wanted to get somewhere where we could serve in a smaller church because there were so many people in Lubbock. So we started visiting around all these smaller independent Baptist churches in Lubbock. In 4 months, that's all we did for 4 months. We visited churches. And I got to tell you, so many of those that we went into, I'd walk in the door, and it was a church full of women. And I looked around, and the men were AWOL. I heard about this church, and the pastor had been recommended to me by somebody that I knew. And so we went over there, and sure enough, the pastor's a great man and everything. But I walked in there, and there were, I don't know where the men were. Women are faithful. I mean, women seem to be so faithful to the Lord. And I got to Bible Baptist Church, and I noticed women are faithful here. You serve. And I thank God for women. I think of my wife. I don't even hardly get to sit by her ever because she's always serving somewhere. You know, if it's not up there in the balcony, and she doesn't want me to say this, I'm sure, but a balcony or the taking care of something, and you know, she's got two jobs anyway, but she does a prayer list. She has a heart that's tender. And many of you do too. I want to take you to Philippians chapter 4, and then we're going to quit. Philippians chapter 4. There's a term. Thank God for women. Happy Mother's Day to you guys. As we said, the church at Philippi seemed to be heavy on the founding anyway, heavy on the number of women. Before Paul even got there, you know, the Spirit of God brought him that vision, the man from Macedonia. I got to tell you this. J. Vernon McGee in his commentary said, it turns out the man from Macedonia in Paul's dream turned out to be a woman. Now, he's joking. But it's funny because the women were there already praying when he got there. Their hearts were tender to the start of the Philippian church, the church at Philippi, and that's how the church at Philippi got started. So look in verse number 2, Philippians chapter 4. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, in all four chapters of the book of Philippi, this is the only reference to something that maybe could be improved. It's weird because all the other epistles of Paul's have admonition. The church has gone south in doctrine. This church has gone south in conduct. This church has gone south in service to the Lord. But in the book of Philippians, there no such admonition and warning exists except for this little sentence. We don't know what it was up between these two ladies, but something was up because they're human, and sometimes we humans just don't jive, do we? Sometimes our personality and our psyche just don't get along because that's the way life is. But he says that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he says in verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. A yoke fellow is just a fellow servant. You know what a yoke is. You put it on two oxen, it keeps them together, they pull the wagon all at the same time. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. He calls out the women. He makes a point to call out the women in the founding as he labored to establish this church, as they labored with him in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, I've seen, as I said, so much of the same kind of thing in this church, and I've been so grateful. A lot's changed in our church. A lot of people have gone on to their place in heaven. And as a result, a lot of the men that we have seen in years past that sit right there and right there and right there where Dub was always sitting all the time, a lot of the men have gone, and so have the women. But you know what? Great memories exist in my mind of women who have been so faithful to the Lord. I see it every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock down that hall in that prayer room. And I know this is a senior class, so we have several seniors who can't get here early because they can barely stay here through church time, you know, because of physical complications and walking back down that hall and all that. So I'm not talking about that. But I see the faithfulness of women, every morning, every Sunday morning, back there in that ladies' prayer room. And I want to thank you for it. You're an encouragement to people. You're an encouragement to your family and to your friends and to your pastor and to your church. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this.